All right, good to see you here this morning. I hope you did have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We did, and my sister is able to be with us. She's back there, wave at us. And we get along real good now, years ago. But we're honored to have her at our house, and we had a great time. And God has blessed all of us, hasn't he? We know that. And last Tuesday night, the testimonies were fantastic. I mean, many of them, all the way across the auditorium, and what an encouragement that was. And we thank the Lord for his blessings. Well, we're in a series called When You Just Can't Get Over It. When You Just Can't Get Over It. And lesson number one was dealing with injustice. Sometimes that's hard to get over. Dealing with injustice. And lesson two was overcoming insecurity. And lesson three today is defeating discouragement. We do have a few of the outlines. I believe they gave them out last week. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Somebody might have one back there, Brother Larry. There's two or three up here. And then two up here. So we'll try to get those to you. Monica, I don't know if you want to walk that far or not, but there's two there. But that'll be your outline to follow as we go through the lesson. And so the title of today's lesson, Defeating Discouragement. Take your Bibles. This is a Bible-believing church, and we like to bring our Bibles to church. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. These are our text verses, just to get us a starting place, and you're familiar with this story about Elijah. But beginning in chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, she says, I'm going to get to you, and I'm going to have you killed. And verse 3, And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came, notice this, and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself, now this is the great Elijah, he requested for himself that he might die. I'd say he was pretty discouraged, wouldn't you? He said, it is enough. I've had enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. So let's look at these verses and some other verses as we go along. The story is told that the devil had a big sale of all the things that he offered. And one of the main items there, the costliest item, was a wedge. And it had the word discouragement on it. And someone said, well, why is that price so high? Why does that cost so much money? And he said, if I can use the wedge of discouragement in anybody's life, then I can defeat them. And so that was the idea behind driving the wedge into the lives of people, the wedge of discouragement. If Satan can get us discouraged, then we're not going to be very effective. Now, remember that Elijah had a great victory, had a tremendous victory. And the prophets of Baal, 850, 450 of the prophets, and then 400 prophets of Baal. And so he had all of them actually killed. We'll talk a little more about that later. But he was on a mountaintop. I mean, he had a great victory, and then now he's facing this. And Jezebel is after him, and she's giving him a hard time and saying that she was going to see that he got killed. Now, you may be today, I don't know, you may be in some situation that would discourage you. Now, there are a lot of things that come in life that discourage us, and I don't know what your situation is. But let's talk first of all about the recipe for discouragement. The recipe for discouragement. That's number one in your outline. One of the things that we need to do is understand the causes of discouragement. If we understand the causes, we can help prevent discouragement by understanding what causes it. Things that caused Elijah to be discouraged are some of the same things that cause us to be discouraged. And so there is that recipe for discouragement. And A, in the outline, one of the times is after a great victory. After a great victory in our life, or a high, an excellent time in our life. And so that's exactly what Ahab was doing, or Elijah was doing. Ahab was angry at Elijah. He was giving him a hard time, and he had prophesied and said there would be no rain for a number of years, and there wasn't any. So Ahab was mad at him. He was after him. And then he ran from that time of the drought to the brook Cherith. The Lord led him there. And there he was fed by the ravens. He was fed bread and he was fed meat and flesh by the ravens. They fed him in the morning and they fed him in the evening. At least he had those two meals. He was really sent from there to the widow woman, if you remember, and her son, and provided them with the oil, the cruse of oil, and she provided him with that and a little bit, a handful of meal. And then God said through Elijah, I'm going to take care of you all the time until the drought is over. And that's exactly what God did. Well, Elijah had a number of years there, we could call it, of struggle in the wilderness. And yet, as he's going along, a major victory is going to come to him. It's just right around the corner. So he's going through all of this and having some difficulties, waiting on God. Let me just say this. Most good things don't come easily for us. Most good things we have to work after, work for, and stay with it. And it takes time to see results. So sometimes we have a tendency when we're waiting for those things and not seeing maybe what we think God ought to be doing, that we just, our patience runs out and we want to give up. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. Get impatient, get discouraged, and cause us to give up. Now, Elijah has victory right here at this point. God gives him a great victory. And he's fighting the prophets of Baal. And he calls them all together. And they have this contest between the false gods and the true and living God. And the prophets of Baal screamed and hollered and cut themselves and did all of those things. And their gods didn't reply because they were not real gods. And Elijah just prayed a brief prayer and asked God to do something. And God came down with a fire and the mighty power of his presence, revealed himself, lapped up all of the sacrifice, the altar, and the water that was around it, all of that at one time, and then had those prophets of Baal and the prophets of the trees and all to go out and be killed. He killed them because of that. And that was the will of God in that situation. Now, in 1 Kings 18:39, the Bible says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And can you imagine Elijah's feeling at that time? He had prevailed, he had had victory. All the people, even some of the enemies, are saying, the Lord is God. He's the real God. He is the true God. I was talking to a lady last week where we preached, and she was a pastor's wife, and talked about how God brought him through all kinds of serious problems. And their main doctor was a Muslim doctor. And that doctor, she said, Doc, I've been down praying, talking to the Lord. And she said, I'm convinced God's given me peace that my husband's going to live. And the doctor said, well, you go ahead and pray. That's all right. I don't mind you praying. And sure enough, he lived. He didn't even have to have a time in rehab. He went back. He's still preaching now. That's been a few years ago. But she said the doctor came back in one day and said, your God answers prayers. your God answers prayers. I think that was a good testimony and a time for victory for them. And so it is with Elijah at this point, and there was success for the true God. But even though that happened, he got discouraged. Now, how could you do all of that and have all of this wonderful victory and then get discouraged? Emotional high and then a letdown. Now, when I was pastoring different churches, the three different churches, we would have big days and we'd work and people would visit and we would pray and we would make phone calls and just go, 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 go. And then we'd have a big day and then people would get saved and the altars would be filled. And then after all of that was over came Monday. And on Monday I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so wore out and so tired. I just want to sleep a while and rest a while. After a big day, there's a letdown. We used to, sometimes when I was in Connersville, Indiana, the IBFI, the national meeting would be there. And we'd have a great time, and then all of a sudden, everybody left. And I found myself almost depressed because all of those preachers, with an exception of one or two, all those preachers left, and it just sort of let you down. And that's the way life is for us. After Christmas, be careful. You'll get the post-holiday blues. After the children graduate and leave home. After a wedding, big wedding. And then right after that, mom and dad go back home and they're like, oh my goodness, our daughter or our son's gone. That never did bother me a whole lot, but at any rate, sometimes that's the way it is. But I'm just giving you some illustrations. But we need to watch the natural downtime. And if we know that comes with it, we watch it, and then we don't allow it to get us so discouraged. And then B, during times of physical exhaustion, we can get discouraged during times of physical exhaustion. And some of the best things we can do, it may not seem spiritual. I'm not talking about a lazy rascal, but sometimes it's a good spiritual thing just to rest, just to sleep a little while, just to lay down and sleep. And you know that fatigue can really cause discouragement. Fatigue comes in our lives and can really cause discouragement. Vince Lombardi said this, I quote him, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. One of the greatest coaches that ever lived. But what happens whenever we're wore out and tired and fatigued, it magnifies the problem usually. It'll magnify the problem. Robert Murray McShane was a great godly Christian Scottish preacher, and he died at the age of 29. And he went all out for God. But he said this on his deathbed: God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride. Now I've killed the horse and cannot deliver the message. And what he was saying is he just burned himself out, maybe unnecessarily, could have had more years. But he said, I've killed the horse and killed myself, is what he's saying. Now, we need to serve. Every Christian should serve. And I'm not suggesting that we be lazy and not serve God. We should serve God, but we should remember that this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of Christ, and they need rest, and they need sometimes exercise and maybe watching our diet, what we eat. Our bodies we need to take care of the best we can so that we don't get so tired and in that state of mind and physical exhaustion. When we're exhausted, we're open to problems. Mark 6:31, Jesus said to his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Get away from all the hubbub and get to the desert place and do what? And rest a while. So we need to serve, but don't overserve. Listen, you can't do everything in the church. You can't win everybody to the Lord. Do your best, serve, but keep a balance in your life And I've seen some people who tried to overdo it, and it affected their family, and they never had family time and other time, and they just have a crash later on. But that has to be balanced. Now, Elijah here is vulnerable to Jezebel's attacks and all of her threats. But basically, I think they were empty threats. A lot of the things that we face are empty threats. They never really happen. Things we worry about that never come into our life never happen. And so he was running from her, even after this great victory. But another thing is that whenever, not only a great victory, but a time of loneliness, that can be a time where we get discouraged. A time of loneliness, that's see in your outline. Elijah fled from Beersheba. He was supposed to go to Israel, but he fled from to Beersheba, went down to Judah, and then he left his servant there, and he went out into the wilderness all by himself. Now, meditation, quiet time's good to a point, but he was fleeing all of that, and he got by himself, and he was already discouraged and depressed. We have to be careful about that. You know, lone animals, animals that are alone, are hanging at the back of the pack. They're usually the ones that get attacked. And Satan knows exactly how to do that, and we do have a predator. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if we get alone and we get down, then he can destroy us. He can defeat us. We have to fight that. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And here's something that I hope we realize in life. We get strength from other people. We get strength from fellow Christians. And that's one reason I believe God ordained the church. People ought to go to church. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, or as we're nearing, getting closer to the return of the Lord. And he's simply saying we ought to be in church. Now, keep in mind, the Christians he's writing to in Hebrews were going through horrible persecution. And they could have said, well, we just don't want to meet. We better not meet. We better not pay the price. But it was important, and they still met, and they did what God wanted them to do, and they loved one another and encouraged one another. And then another thing is from an inaccurate view of our circumstances. Inaccurate view. In other words, Elijah blew his circumstances out of proportion. And he magnified the difficulty. He magnified the trial to the point that he wanted to die. In chapter 19, verse 4, he himself, on a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down by a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And then he said, in the last part, in the next phrase, he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. He wanted to die. I just want to die, God. And I don't know if you've ever been there. I hope not. But there can be some circumstances that come in our lives. Sometimes we maybe even feel that way. And he was saying, other prophets have been martyred. I'm no better than them. I'm just ready to die. Now, he was looking at the situation with the wrong attitude. He was looking at the situation, and he allowed discouragement to blind him to what really was going on, and he dwelt on what was wrong. Now, let me tell you what the cure is for dwelling on what is wrong. Dwell on what is right. And what is right? What's in the Word of God. That's what's right. Dwell on the Word. Dwell on God. And then when we have these biblical truths, we meditate on them. And if we don't, Satan is going to get the upper hand on us, and he'll seize that opportunity. And so he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, or a virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So These are the good positive things we ought to think about. Think about the Word of God, and obviously you need to stay in the Word of God. And so Elijah allowed his thoughts to go the wrong way. And he was thinking, I'm in trouble, and I'm the only prophet left. Elijah had a great victory, but he began to let that victory fade away, and he allowed the devil to get into his life. And so we have to be careful about that. Now, all of those things are what we'd call the recipe for discouragement. There's some others, but those are the main ones. Now, second main division, the treatment of discouragement. How do you treat it? If you do face it, we need to watch out and try not to allow it to come. But if it does come, and sometimes it does, how do we overcome it? Well, in your outline there, remain faithful. Remain faithful. Elijah made a 40-day trip to Mount Horeb. And God asked him this question at Mount Horeb in chapter 19 and verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, why are you here? You're supposed to be in Israel. This is not where I called you to go out and to Judah or into the wilderness. What are you doing here? In other words, Elijah was out of place, and he had left the place of his ministry that God had called him to fulfill. At this point, he was fighting it and was not fulfilling what God wanted him to fulfill. Let me ask you this question. What are we doing and what are you doing now for the cause of Christ? What are we doing for the cause of Christ? I think some Christians get out of place, and God has ordained us to serve him, and he has ordained us to good works, not to save us, but after we're saved. Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in those good works. So we need to be fulfilling our ministry, our ministries, whatever God has given us to do. And I know there are a lot of people that have abilities to teach, to serve, do things in the church that don't do them when there's a need for them to be done. But this created the works that we're to do creates glory to God and brings him honor because of what we're trying to do. But we're doing it for his glory, and that should be why we're living this life, is to glorify God. So he had left his plan, and because he was out of place, he was more prone, more susceptible to discouragement, because he wasn't where God had him, where he was supposed to be. And so Elijah was to be the prophet of Israel, and then he went to Judah, went into the wilderness. And what we need to be careful about is don't veer from what you know God has led you to do in serving him. Don't stop. Don't veer from that. Remain doing it. Enjoy doing it. Enjoy the victories that God gives us. And by all means, remain faithful to God. Remain faithful to him throughout our lives. And then it recognizes God's presence. Another way of defeating it. Recognize God's presence. Elijah came to the place on Mount Horeb, and he experienced the whirlwind and the earthquake, all of that that was going on when he was there, and then the roaring fire that came. But you know, God wasn't in all of that spectacular stuff. He heard God's still small voice, and God was speaking to him in his still small voice. Sometimes we should hear his still small voice. We don't always have to have the hoopla and the great visible manifestations to prove to us what God wants us to do. He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit in a still small voice, and he wants us to go on. He'll manifest himself, and always we can count on this: God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always with us. And so it doesn't have to be in a dramatic way. that God shows us these things, but we know, we sense it in our spirit, we listen to God, and then we do what God has told us to do, and we trust Him for it. We look back on things and see what He's done. There's a mountain that I like to climb. I hadn't done it in a long time, but it's the Peaks of Otter. It's right out of Roanoke, Virginia, on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And you can walk up like a roadway, and it takes quite a long time, or you can go right straight up that mountain. And I mean, it is a steep mountain. I've been up it that way at least two times. One time with Carolyn pulling on me and trying to get some help, but we made it to the top. And another time, but when you get up there, it's beautiful. But when you look back, you look at all the things you've passed, and you remember all the things that went behind you. And but yet, the victory is worth it. And so we have to just trust God, look back over our lives, see what He's already done, and know that He wants us to continue serving Him. And then lastly, thirdly, claiming victory over discouragement. The recipe for it, how do you treat it, and then claiming victory over discouragement. Satan wants to discourage you today. And he says there's no need for you, when things get bad, to keep pressing, to try to work it out and to serve the Lord. Just give it up. Well, he's a liar. I guess you know Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. And he'll tell you a lie that is not worth it. But we have to look back on those things and see that it is worth it and go on. And God doesn't desire for us to get down, depressed, and defeated. God wants us to have victory. That's what God wants for us, is that we have victory. And so that's something that we need to always look for. Now, claiming victory over discouragement, how do we do that? Be honest. Be honest. How's that? Well, Elijah, and as he listed all of this, he listed Israel's problems. And he started capitalizing on the negative. And he began to look at all the negative situations. And he said, I'm the only one left. And God spoke to him again in a small voice and said, you're not the only one left. What are you doing here? And he responded, he should have repented, which is what often we just need to do, is repent, get our hearts right with God. But he didn't. And he responded to God, and he stayed discouraged and full of self-pity. Here's what he said, I only am left, and they seek my life. I'm the only prophet left, and they're trying to kill me. And why should I keep trying to do this? Why should I go to Israel and preach to them and warn them? Well, he was just convinced by the devil that he should give up. Now, God said, let me tell you something, Elijah. There's 7,000 other men of God. You're not the only one out there. There's 7,000 others. So God was saying, quit whining, quit griping, quit looking at the negative, quit complaining about your lot. And I know that we can think of some of the people who have allowed those things to stop them from serving. But God is still there. We have enemies that try to defeat us. Sometimes our family tries to defeat us. They don't agree with us. And I know a lot of people who are attacked by their own family. Sometimes it's coworkers who make fun of you and laugh at you. And you begin to think, well, maybe it's not worth it. Sometimes it may be a friend, but that friend turns against you and they're against you. But we need to know that these things are going to happen. And think, if we begin to think it is not worth it and God doesn't care and God is not pleased, then those are the wrong attitudes. You're never alone. As I said earlier, God is always with you. And God has other faithful servants. I thank God for that. I like to go to preachers' meetings, and maybe sitting at a meal, we begin to share some things about the week before or three or four weeks before, what God has done and running problems maybe that we've run into and how God solved them. That's a good time to share with others. And remember, we're not alone. They face problems like you do, and other people do too. So don't get discouraged. Do what? Overcome your difficulties. We all have them. But overcome your difficulties and look at other people sometimes in the church that have come through those things. go talk to them and know that that's how they got through those things. So Elijah is fighting this battle. God is speaking to him, and he's saying, Elijah, you need to train some young prophets. You need to train one special prophet named Elisha. You need to choose your replacement, and you need to be preaching the truth. So get up and get with it, Elijah. Now, Edmund Burke said this, never despair, never despair. But if you do, go on in your despair. That's pretty good advice. You might get discouraged, but don't quit. Go on. Just keep going on and going on for the glory of God. So be honest about your situation. It probably is not as bad as you make it out to be. And then press onward. Press onward. In other words, focus on your purpose for living in this life. Press onward so that you can bring glory to God. Bear Bryant, the legendary football coach, and I hate to say that he did coach Alabama for a good while, but he said this. He said, I'd croak in a month if I quit coaching. I would croak in a month if I quit coaching. And then his team right after that won the Liberty Bowl, December the 29th, 1982. And on January the 26th, 1983, less than 1 month later, he died. Because that was his purpose. That was his driving purpose in life. And he said, if I ever lose it, I'll die. And he did. So don't lose your sense of purpose. Discouragement comes and it'll stop us. We won't have any satisfaction. It'll rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of the joy that God wants you to have. But true fulfillment in life is this. Find God's will and do it. And just keep on doing it. Find God's will for your life and do it. And just keep on doing it. So Elijah confronted Ahab again. But this time he didn't run from him. And he wasn't running from Jezebel anymore. And so he faced him again. He conquered his discouragement. He followed God until finally God took him up to heaven. He got over his discouragement, went on to do what God told him to do. Now, you may feel discouraged today, but God wants to help you. Maybe somebody here is discouraged. I have an idea, this many people, that somebody here is discouraged or facing it or will face it. But that's not God's plan for you. What is God's plan for his people? Joy. God wants us to have joy, rejoicing. God wants us to have fulfillment of doing his will and peace in our lives. That's what God wants for us, really the fruit of the Spirit that he talks about in the book of Galatians. He wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. So discouragement is real, it is powerful, but we can have victory over discouragement even though it's not easy. And Elijah's story tells us there's a way out. By the way, David got very discouraged, and he was in the same fix. We don't have time to go into all of that story, but in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, the Bible says, but David did what? Encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord, and that's exactly what we need to do and what we can do, like Elijah and David. We face these times. Now, are you struggling with discouragement in any form today? A little bit more? Is it amplified? I don't know. But I promise you it can be defeated. And one of the ways that we can defeat it is to remember God's promises. Remember what God has promised us and told us. And remember what he's already done for us, his past work in our lives. Like I said, climbing a mountain and looking back down. Remember what he's already done and remember that he's been faithful. I think all of us in here today would say, as I look back over my life, I can testify God has been faithful. And he's always faithful. So don't quit. Victory is just around the corner, and have the right attitude about it. Remember, God is with you. Don't get discouraged. It's hard for God to use a discouraged person, no matter what. Turn it over to God. God allows it, Romans 8:28, and it'll work out. Father, I pray that you would help any that might be discouraged here today for whatever reasons. May you just help them, and Lord, may you give them that victorious spirit. May we learn from Elijah some things not to do, some things that we should do, so that we can have victory every day, peace, joy, happiness that you want us to have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.